Geoffrey, and how are you today?
Fine, Mr. Fagan. I'm in good spirits, and it's good to be here on Scribble Radio for another episode.
Yeah, you're feeling like a good scribble in action today?
I am indeed. In fact, I've been looking forward to this all week long.
Oh, really?
A couple of people have been writing into the show saying, thanking you, Neil, for all the hard work you do, and I'm going to let you all into a secret. This isn't really like hard work, is it?
Oh, no, it's not. This is definitely not like hard work.
Just for the benefits of our listeners, no matter where you are, we're in the studio at the moment looking extremely casual, enjoying just a brew, and what a great way to spend a period of time reading some poetry, you guys.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that, does it?
Nope, doesn't it? So, welcome everyone, whether you're in America or whether you're overseas in Europe. Or over here in the UK, just welcome everyone to Scribble.
Yeah, welcome to the Scribbling Show. All you listeners and all you writers, we've got an eclectic and an electric feast for you today.
Great.
So sit back and, as we say every week, kick off your shoes, relax and take it easy.
I've got my tea, let's go.
Oh, I can see that with your tea. All you need now is a bit of a gin and tonic with your tea and then you're there. So we're going to do a couple of things this week. We're going to mention again The World Comes to You. So we've got a little bit of a promo for that because it was a great show. I called it last week, brilliant show. Uh-huh. So if you're around and you can get over to Poetry in Motion on Facebook, they're broadcasting on Saturday at around about 12 noon. It's a great show to listen to, so crack on with that. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But first, I thought we'd play off with something like we always like to do on these days, something which is quite expressive and well put together on a production point of view. So have a listen to this one, Jeff. It's a poem by David White, and Michael R. Justice has voiced it for us. Have a listen. See what you think.
There's a great spring in you, all bud and blossom and March laughter I've always loved. Your face framed against the bay and the whisper of some arriving joke playing at the mouth. Your lightning raid on the eternal, melting the serious line to absurdity. I look around and see the last days of winter broken away for all those listening or watching. All come to life now, with the first pale sun on their face for many a month, remembering how to laugh. But most of all, I love the heft and the weight and the swing of that sea behind it all. Some other tide racing towards the shore, or receding to calmness where no light or laughter lives for long. The way you surface from those atmospheres again and again. Your emergence seems to make you a lover of horizons, but your visitation of darkness shows. Then away from you, I can see you only alone on that strand walking to the sea on the north coast of Clare toward the end of an unendurable winter, taking your first swim of the year. The March scald of cold ocean, even in May, about to tighten and bud you into spring. You look across to the mountains and Connemara, framing only for now your horizon. You look and look and look beyond all looking.
What a nice mellow way to start the program.
It was quite sad. For a spring poem, I can see where he was coming from, but that was quite sad.
It was really nice, that, wasn't it? I thought it was a really nice, good way to
start. Made me want to jump in the sea with the cold ocean. So, yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah, let's give it a go.
However, the jury's out with or without the music. I actually like the music of that particular one.
Yeah, I do.
It works. That added to it.
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think that works really well on that one. So we've got that. We've got this mix this week of some with music and some without. Now, the winner of Karen King's poetry competition, we always broadcast the winners on that. Now, it was a joint winner this week, and only one of them's actually sent their poem in for us to cover. So we're going to cover Warren C. Denson's poem, and this first was about mushrooms, which was the challenge that she did. So I'll have a listen to Warren Denson in the raw. So we've got no music track behind this. So I'll have a listen to this. And we'll ask people to vote on it, whether you prefer them with music or whether you prefer them with just the spoken word. So let's have a listen.
Funny mushrooms. Sauntered off the winding trail, slowly as this talking snail. No snack with me today I wore. Look, a mushroom on the floor. The sun enormous in my view, melting all these vibrant hues. Here now do I see a smile upon this tree. We sit and talk what must be ours with these ambulatory flowers. I hear a laughing from ahead, from the tree there lying dead. Underneath it varied stools in prismatic colored pools. This fungus single essence, psychedelic phosphorescence.
Well, there you go. That was the winner. It was a good one, that, wasn't it? Because I saw the photo. What she does is she gives them a photograph and says, right, you know, write a poem around this, and then you have to pick who the winner is. It was really good. I thought it came across really well.
So it's a bit like still life, isn't it?
Just it is, yeah.
Write a poem about a piece of still life in a photograph.
Yeah, it's cracking. So well done, Warren. And we will promote the other person who won next week. We'll get hold of them and get them to send their sound recording in so that we can broadcast
it. Back to the music, though. Can we have both? Because I actually like both of those.
Yeah.
We either with or without.
Yeah, I do. So that's what we're going to do in future. Okay. We're going to split it between the two. We're going to do a bit with music, bit with not, and do it that way. Now, you know, we work with Poet Stream as well in collaboration. So we're going to place some of their work very shortly. But first, before we do that, we're going to talk about The World Comes to You, which is a new radio show going out on Poetry in Motion on Facebook. Goes out every Saturday at 12 o'clock. It's a great show. I called it last week. Listen to it. Really good interviews, really good coverage of the poets. So between us, we're probably covering about 50 poets a week, which is pretty good going at the end of the day, especially with the launch of Night Train as well. So I asked Alan Johnson, who runs it, said, send me a bit of a promo. So he sent me this.
Well, hello. The World Comes to You here on Saturdays at noon. That's GMT.
Somebody mentioned tea.
Well, GMT is the world time zone.
Oh.
So people tuning in from Japan or somewhere else.
I live around the corner.
12 o'clock, Saturday, the 9th of April. The World Comes to You.
I can't have all them coming here.
That was a great promo. Well done, Alan. It was really good, that, isn't it?
Well, answer me a technical thing. If you happen to be busy at that moment, can you catch it after?
Yeah, you can catch it after.
Oh, you can. Right, yeah, that's absolutely fine. I just thought that's when it's posted up.
Yeah, it actually gets posted up on Facebook.
Got it.
At
okay.
12 o'clock, and everybody's queuing up waiting to hear it. So it's a really good show. So tune in if you get the opportunity. We're all working for one aim, which is to broadcast as many poets as we can. Right, moving on to Poet's Dream. We've had this guy on before, a guy called Paul Chapman.
And
he's done this poem called Occasion. I thought this is really worthy of the programme, this. So get your ears around this one.
This poem is entitled The Cage. The brilliant yellow-green canary flutters feebly to the ground, then flying weakly to the lower branches, unable to fly any higher to the safety of the foliage. To hide among the green leaves, all its life it has been confined, its world a small cage. Fed and watered, it would fill the air with song. But now, by chance, it has freedom. But now, too afraid to sing, does it yearn for the safety of its cage? For truly, the cage was her protection. In its freedom, it will not survive. Do we also need the confines of society, the moral cage that is imposed upon us? Although we may yearn for freedom, would we survive without restrictions? Or would we flutter weakly, then fall prey to the marauding beasts of this world that lay in wait to destroy beauty and to kill the innocent?
Good analogy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, that threw me a curveball. I thought we were just going to be talking about canaries not singing in a cage, and then we end up on some deeper human issues. That's spot on. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was really good. That he does that a lot, Paul. So he did one which we covered called Fairies at the Bottom of My Garden.
I remember that one.
Yeah. What's this all about then? And then in the end, you find out it's about all those little thieving little tykes who go into your garden and break into your shed. And that was the same when I listened to it the first time. I thought, a cage, we're talking about canaries.
Yeah,
what's that about then? And then it moves over to...
Do you think we'd survive without our cage? Are we out of our cage in the first place?
I'm not sure. Maybe sometimes.
I think we better get back in the cage.
Yeah, get back in the cage. Let's get on with the program. So that was another one without any sound file underneath it, which was really good. And now we've got a real treat for people who like this street poetry, this slam poetry. It's by a lady who calls herself Barbie the Bard. And it's great, this. I picked this up. It runs for about 4:23, but stick with it because it's a great poem, this. Real good slam poetry. Have a listen.
In the UK, 61% of families cannot afford to take their kids on holiday for 1 week a year. We'll die by the sword, but I'm filled with fear as to why this is not being explored, but rather ignored. This is untoward. Holidays abroad are rare. In fact, I know grown men on my estate who've never been anywhere. This is not fair when London is the sixth richest city in the world, and yet 4 in 10 children who live there live in relative poverty, compared with the national average. I swear, these children are not being given due care. There's no au pairs for them in the nanny state. It makes me want to tear out hairs and declare the Lord's Prayer. What a waste. I'm scared. These politicians need to get out of their sedan chair lairs, stop talking hot air and being laissez-faire, and repair the wear and tear on our great nation, which is clearly in disrepair. As is much of our housing and tower blocks, where the pedos are browsing while the dads smoke rock. It's hard to conceive, but don't be deceived. We've all seen mums on speed, which they hide up their sleeve, wrapping up presents on Christmas Eve for their children to receive the next morning when they're still buzzing from last night. This is a warning. In towers of Babel, which loom at the hearts of these estates like petrified trees, and you can never leave. And tinfoil, stained with smack, drifts around the stairwell, all brown like autumn leaves. 16-floor monstrosities where needles lie in pools of urine. And once you're in, you're in. You ain't going nowhere. Best just to grin and take it on the chin. Your face is white and silent like your Charlie Chaplin. There are 6 million souls living on council estates in Britain, all by the poor bug bitten, and many in properties that are isolated, run down and abandoned. But no one seems able to explain how this happened, like they just got put out there by some random bandit. Underhanded explanations which put poverty down to drug and alcohol dependency, family breakdown, poor parenting or a culture of worklessness are not supported by the facts. But back down to brass tacks. Work does not provide a guaranteed route out of poverty. It horrors me that 2/3 of children growing up below the breadline in our time live in a family where at least one member works full time. This means that 6 out of 10 youngers has a parent whose job does not pay enough bread to keep the family well fed. Bring me this silver spoon up his arse, head of state farce, and show him what I see out my front window. Then find me a pastor or a headmaster or someone who might have some clues as to what's going on here. Child poverty imposes costs on broader society, estimated to be at £29 billion per year. When I was just a beginner, my mother would sometimes have to eat meat paste sandwiches for dinner so we could live like lottery winners instead of 1939 West Berliners or sinners. Although occasionally I did have to rob next door's milk, as did many of my ilk. Some weeks it was a choice between milk, butter or bread, decisions which must have filled my mother's heart with dread and stomach with lead. And I took extra care of my brand new threads because they were for my little sister to wear. Fucking hell, Cheryl, a quarter of a century later, and I can still hear y'all breathing down there from the top of the bunk bed. While I never had a school shirt that didn't come from Oxfam or a charity shop, we always had matching socks. But why should this be a shock? I also never owned a single item that didn't fit properly, and we never looked slovenly. We always had proper roast chickens on Sunday to munch and beef dripping to crunch, and McDonald's was a reward for special achievements, not lunch. If you are poor, then just remember this. Childhoods are blighted by poverty, but that doesn't mean you can't bring your kids up properly. Money does not buy you joy, a clean conscience, style, wit that runs deep, true friends to keep, a good night's sleep, a sense of humour, good health, a life free from rumour or happiness. It just buys you stuff, of which there's never enough. Which is tough, but don't take it too rough. Because for free, we get given the only thing which really matters. And that is love.
It's love.
It was great, that. I mean, it's a real performance poetry piece, that.
Only Barbie could read that. Yeah, only she could read her own work. That is just, none of us could read it the way she did.
It's just a phenomenal piece. Phenomenal. And I can imagine if she stood there and she's performing it live, it must be stunning to listen to. Absolutely incredible.
Has she thought about politics? I'd vote for her as well.
Forget
the poetry, Barbie. I'll vote for you.
Get up there. Vote for the people. Right on my street, that one. There you go. Barbie the Poet. Great piece, that. Well done. Thank you very much for sending it in. Yep. Right, now we're going to move on to a guy by the name of Big V. And Big V's done this piece. It's all set to music. It's called I Am Pain. You'll like this because you like the ones with the music on. So you'll love this one.
Mm-hmm.
I am the prime element in the battle for your self-mastery. Warriors use me to build. Weak hearts fold under my pressure. Who am I? I am pain. Without warning, I will break you down, leave you weak, flatten your spirits, destroy your hopes. Who am I? I am pain. I will appear when you least expect, but please don't hate me, for my purpose is misunderstood. I am the process of carving and burning you into your ultimate self. Who am I? I am pain. Without me, there is no glory. To reach your highest level, you must invite me into your world. Once inside, I will take on many names and forms. I'm known as sacrifice, dedication, discipline, hard work. Who am I? I am pain. I see you as the rock, and I am the water. Over time, I will shape you into a monument, a great world wonder. People will come from far and wide just to learn from you and spend a moment in your presence. Who am I? I am pain. With each bout of me, you will learn your true self. You will learn about your strengths and weaknesses. You will learn how to perform at your ultimate level. I will take you to places you didn't believe existed, develop you to achieve what you labeled impossible. Who am I? I am pain. I believe nobody is truly chosen. You are molded and cut from the fabrics of life's challenges. I will push you to those points where your only option is to turn and fight. All I ask is you get to understand me. Follow the example of the great achievers and form a close bond with me. Use me for your elevation. Who am I? I am pain. The easy road will call you. It will tempt you with its promise of comforts, lure you into a false sense of security. But we are the ones built to conquer, master, and empower our environments. We embrace challenge and surpass those locked in the enemy known as the comfort zone. It's lonely at the top, overcrowded at the bottom. Only a few have the mental toughness and persistence to rise to great heights. Who am I? I am pain. I am the gateway to all your wishes, the key to all your dreams locked away, the road leading to your untrodden paths. I am the manifestation of your goals, desires, and the proud legacy you will imprint on the world. Who am I? I am pain. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to accept a working coalition with me? I will be that fire that drives you. I will be that fuel that feeds you. I will be that force that lifts you. Who am I? I am power. I am knowledge. I am glory. I am success. I am strength. I am wisdom. Who am I? I am pain.
Hey, inspirational piece. I thought it was going to be something different when I first saw it.
Yeah, very intense, very intense.
Yeah, and I listened to it, and he's right. You know, when you start thinking about it, I am pain. You know, if you want to succeed and you want to get on, you've got to go through the pain barrier sometimes, haven't you?
No pain, no gain.
No gain. Like, you know, with your running. No pain, no gain.
Yeah, it's mostly pain, actually. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have a good report on how Jeff's doing with his half marathon that he's going to do shortly. Okay, I'm going to go and photograph that because he's far fitter than me, so I'll go and watch him doing it, which will be great. Okay, coming down to earth a little bit now, we're going to cover a piece called Good Times Gone by Andy Daniels. Andy's been on the programme before.
Yes, he has been on before, I remember
that. Yeah, and he's a great poet. He posts a lot on the Scribble page, and I thought, well, I'll pick this one up because I like this one, so we'll give this a go.
Good times gone, they go too fast, and although they're now the past, Well, good times will come our way. Perhaps tomorrow, if not today. Good times gone, we know too well, but leave us with stories to tell. More good times, they're always due, and some will help our dreams come true. Good times gone, with memories, in our thoughts quite constantly. More good times will come in style, and once again, they'll make us smile. Good times gone, but never fade. Magical moments have been made. More good times will keep us strong, and very soon they'll come along.
Quite a positive piece, that.
What a happy time. Soul.
It is, yeah. That's I've always said, lift us up a bit.
One minute you're down, the next minute you're right back up again when you hear Andy's
great
work.
Great work, that, Andy. Thanks very much for throwing that into the programme, which was really good. Now, I got contacted by a lady by the name of Christine Barker, and she's a poet. The first time she's ever recorded anything is for this show today, which is really good. Works with Kara Johnstad over in Berlin, and it's called Hall of Mirrors. And I read it, and then I listened to it, and I thought, you know what? This deserves a shout on the Scribble Show. So we're going to tee it up now and have a listen to it. So well done.
Hall of Mirrors by Christine Barker. I shade my eyes, squinting with blurred, bespectacled vision as you stand before me, shining like a diaphanous mirror, pellucid and dignified with the wisdom of age. You invite me to peer into your mirror of life, and I stare bewildered with lucid post-pubescent eyes at a mirage of womanhood that awaits me. A tangle of twisted emotions partially blind me from the images you offer. You watch on, patiently smiling with the tolerance and understanding of maturity as I struggle to polish away the smears. You do not judge or blame, but offer me your arm and lead me like a child through a hall of mirrors. Each image I see there reflects me back upon myself. And slowly and clumsily, I begin to glimpse the light of experience and perceive the world anew.
Well, there you go. I did say an eclectic and electric mix today on the
Christina
program.
That was your first effort. Bring on the second and third.
Absolutely, bring us more on.
We're going to expect a lot more from that, actually.
Yeah, I think you've raised the bar really high.
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so let's keep on coming in. So I thought it was really good. Yeah, Hall of Mirrors. Well done. Super. Right, now what we're going to do is move back to an old favourite of ours, Paul Griffiths. He's a great supporter of the programme, and he's the Birkenhead poet.
Yes.
He's on the programme on a regular basis, and he's on the programme because of his performance pieces and
yes,
the way he writes.
Maybe
and he's done this bit called Crazy Jack, and I thought, our lives are a little bit like this, so it's just worth listening to.
Hi Neil and everyone, it's Scribble. This is a poem about one of those people that you try to avoid but somehow always bump into. It's called Crazy Jack, and I hope you like it. He was known around town as Crazy Jack, a name only they had whispered from behind his back. For throughout the town, Big Jack was feared, renowned for chewing on people's ears. He had a face only his mother could love, all battered and twisted and covered in scars from the long years of fighting in the pub clubs and bars. He had an head shaped like an anvil, and his fists was as large as spades, and it only took a single dig to send men to the grave. Because Jack punched first and asked questions later, he had sent many a man to the undertaker. His favourite hobby was getting pub bouncers and bouncing them off walls, but he never ever fought just one, he'd have to fight them all. To watch him in action was crazy, like an old Popeye cartoon, as bodies flew like skittles all about the room. And then he'd walk to the nearest bar and he'd drink it dry of beer. Nobody dared refuse him, they served him out of fear. It was legendary how Jack could drink. He swallowed beer down like an unplugged sink. He made Oliver Reed look like Julian Clary, because he looked like Quasimodo, but Jack was twice as scary. Now sober he was nasty, but drunk he was a sight, like a giant keg of dynamite just ready to ignite. If people saw him coming, they quickly crossed the road, because it only made the slightest thing to make Big Jack explode. He was well known to the local police, but they left him well alone. They realised it was safer just to let him stagger home. And once in his house, the whole town were let out a sigh of relief, as things could only get back to normal when Big Jack was asleep. Thanks, everyone. Cheers, Neil.
It was great, that, wasn't it? It's absolutely brilliant the way he's put that together.
That's the best thing I've heard this week. I mean, everything's great, but that just made me smile.
That was super.
What is he doing?
I don't know. And the reason I put it together, I remember a guy called... Stoker Potts, who was exactly the same as that. Stoker Potts was one of these big men and he just wanted to fight with everybody, so he just rang a chord with me. I thought it was brilliant. Absolutely stunning. Well done, Paul. Great piece, that one.
Yeah.
I don't know how to move on from that, but we'll give it a go anyway.
Okay.
We've been talking to a guy called Greg Tin. Greg's got lots of good ideas about what we should be doing with the Scribble Show, and he wants to get involved, and he wants to open it up to children's poetry and do a special broadcast on children's poetry, which you and I were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's a great idea to do that. But he also posted one of his poems for consideration. I thought, you know what? I like this. It's pretty good. He can't record it because he said he hasn't got a voice for it. But then again, everybody thinks he hasn't got a voice for it. But yep. So what I've done is I've recorded this for him and I've dropped a bit of a soundtrack behind it, but it's a really nice piece. Have a listen to it, Jeff. When silence doesn't impinge, whisper. When a whisper isn't heard, converse. When conversation doesn't solve, argue. When an argument gets heated, shout. When shouting is rejected, fight. When fighting hurts, shoot. When shooting misses, bomb. When bombing causes silence, no more world. Think on. Talk, not take. Create, not hate. Solve and evolve. We are one. If we're sane, we are sane. Short point, but I thought very poignant, because if you look around the world, that's exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. Send that off to the UN.
Yeah, I think that should be a UN anthem.
Make that a mandate. It should be the UN anthem.
UN mandate, UN anthem, I think. Well done, Greg. Superb job. Right, now, lots of new people on the programme today, but an old stayer. Old stayer, stop using that. She's not an old stayer. She's a young woman, Essie Yankee. She was performing at the Royal Albert Hall on Saturday last. In a big poetry, it wasn't a competition, it was a big poetry performance, and she was doing some of her poetry there. And she sent through this piece, which is called Final Is Forever. And you know what? I thought, this is so good, I'm not even going to touch this. I'm just going to play it as it is, because it's a great recording. So have a listen to this, Jeff.
Final is forever. At first, we reach conclusions. Conclusions cause confusion. Confusion is a state of mind. Mind illusions of the mind. Mind blind mind. Mind over matter. Matter mass mine. Minefields blow over time. Time isn't real. Real isn't fake. Fake is the bubble. Bubble you create. Create who you are. Are you ready for the night? Night turns to darkness. Darkness craving light. Light filled energy. Energy vibrations. Vibrations open doors, doors to higher stations. Stations of dimensions, dimensions higher to salvation. Salvation is with God. God's an infinite equation. Equation can be solved, solved by listening to stars. Stars that shelter angels, angels shining brightly in the dark. Dark matter matters, matters of the mind. Mind controls controlling, controlling minds like tides. Tides deliver crashing waves, waves crashing deliver cries. Cries of the massacred, massacred by knights. Knights of the order, order reigns the chaos. Chaos caused by vain. Vain use the name of God, God reigned pain. Pain filled the hearts of men, men filled with rage. Rage tore the world apart, world turned a page. Page scribes a message, message reads end of days. Days as we know that they are up. Up rise the souls, souls lead the enlightened. Enlightened by the light, light work disciples. Disciples of ascension. Ascension is forever. Forever is so final, final, is forever.
Final is forever.
Apocalyptic.
It is, yeah. And I can almost imagine her doing that on the Royal Albert Hall, you know, doing it as a performance piece, because she's a great performance poet. And the more work you send in, Essie, the more we will play on that side. So really good. Yeah, really like that one. Great. Now, moving along to Poem Cubely, which we haven't got anything on this week, but there's a team of guys, and I'm very honoured to be part of them. 12 people, set up by Alex Maxwell. It's called Poem Cubely. You're given two words every week, and you've got to write a poem around it. And I mentioned it on last week's programme as well. Well, starting next week, what we're going to do is we're going to broadcast one of the poems from Poem Cubely every week and profile it on the show. Because the talent in there, taking me out of it, of course, because I'm just a byproduct of an otherwise good group. The talent that in there is awesome. So I thought what we do is we do a special Kubli section starting next week and broadcast one of their poems every week, which would be really good.
So they're just given two words?
You get two words, two opposite words. You've got to write a poem about it. It can be about anything. It just makes your mind flow. It makes your imagination drift. Okay. It's a really good way of doing it. So,
and do we know what those two words are yet, or they'll be a surprise for next week?
So you don't know until the Wednesday as to what the words are for the following week. So you've got a couple of days to write something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a cracking challenge. It's a really good group. So thanks to Alex Maxwell, who put all that together. Now, talking of Alex Maxwell, I thought what we'd do is play this bit. We've had him on the show before. You and I said we could see it. We were sat on the harbour wall down in Penzance looking out to sea.
I remember that one.
You remember?
Yes, I do remember it, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's wrote another piece called The Kendrick Wrestler about being down in Cornwall with one of these Kendrick wrestlers. And it's such a nice piece that I thought we'd play this today as well.
Once upon a black Cornish night, unsteady, two miners stout stumbled ready through the rough gorse and wild heather, retracing steps from the rowdy pubs of Morva together, wondering what their wives may say. A low sudden moan rose ahead, the cairn of darkness howled, a whine high-pitched Con Kennejack froze them in step. They swayed, an eerily glow echoed, supernatural beings' spirited movement drew the tinners, pulled into the silhouette circle below the granite outcrop. By the devil they were led, his horns fiery red, compelled they followed, where a sight they met, a peculiar vision, gathering of outworldly beasts enveloped, who jostled and jeered and cheered, two wrestlers deep within the circle sneered, sweating, fighting to the death. They grappled and gripped and groaned, they heaved and sweated and moaned. All the while the cheers rose and fell from the ghostly circle crowd, upon their big toes perched, waving arms and casting shadows, glowing green in fluorescent light. When bang, a spectacular crash, a forceful throw, ended the gigantic clash. With a mortal wound, a contestant lay, beaten. Under his breath, one miner whispered a prayer for the creature who lay gasping for air. Though the devil, forever aware, having heard the Lord's prayer spoken, rapidly concluded the affair. With an almighty thump, his hoof thundered, and the spectacle vanished into thin, dark air. Released from their spell, ran the miners, stumbled and fell. Exhaustion grew, slashed and scarred. Eventually out of their feet, slumbered into a troubled sleep. Woken by the ray of first light, to find in disbelief below the very same granite cairn, Kennejack, they huddled.
There you go. You know, of a land full of myth and legend. I thought that was a really cool piece. Nice piece. That,
yeah, I did like that too.
Yeah, well done, Alex. That was great, that. Right, now, Jason Nicholas Smith has been mailing into the Scribble Show with some of his poetry, which is really good. and he's produced a piece called Seek and You Will Find. And I thought, well, you know what, we'll play this on the show today because it's a nice piece. Have a listen to it, Jeff.
This is a poem I'd like to share. The title is Seek and You Shall Find. Okay. When plans go awry and ends don't quite meet, find me between the cracks of heart's concrete. When cast adrift, anchorless and rudderless, feeling alone, sister, brother and motherless, I find you between percussions of heartbeats, where my breath, death and living life meets. Where my legs are laden, feet heavy as lead, fearful of the hills and the valleys to tread. Amidst called out clouds of battle's last stands, in the desolate landscapes of no man's lands. Beyond every obscured word, vision and sound, I find you in every single manifested bliss in a bound. And I'm found both shallow and profoundly complex, in extremes of emotion and love to neglectfully vex. When I'm rising up from the lowest of plights, or dizzying the highest of heights, I find you in the darkest of nights and lights of light, where the veil is revealed, renewing new sights. Grace and a light, a might, a purpose, love and peace, and final surrender to your blessed release.
Good work, Jason.
Yeah, it was good work, that, wasn't it? I like the way the words all roll on. It's a bit like S.E. Yankee's work, you know, the way the words just roll on. We've got a couple of, I'm going to term them slam poets on the programme today because of just the way they put everything together. And we've got another one by a lady by the name of Catherine Howe on shortly, and we can have a listen to that one. But first things first, let's have a look. Oh, let me just talk about Night Train, because we're doing Night Train on a Wednesday night, so it's a midweek show.
Yeah, this is new, isn't it?
It is new, yeah. It's brand new. There's no chat, no comment, just poetry. And it only runs for 25, 30 minutes, and you can just kick it on your stereo or kick it on your iPad or whatever it is. Just kick back and relax. Broadcast around about 7, 8 o'clock on a Wednesday evening.
So it's basically poetry without us lot dribbling in between.
Yeah, it's without our drivel.
I can see that being a sellout.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all the tickets are gone now for the next 12 months. So we're covering, as I said before, we're probably covering about 35, 40 poets a week now, which is really good. And then with what Poetry in Motion are doing with The World Comes to You.
So it's just like a mega mix.
Yeah, so we're getting plenty of coverage now for everybody.
Oh, great.
So we're going to pick up a piece now called Birthday Song, which was written by John Donoghue. And it's been voiced very kindly by Cara Johnstad. And this is another one of those pieces where you think, you know what, I kind of like this, so I'm going to put it in the programme.
Blessed be the mind that dreamed the day the blueprint of your life would begin to glow on earth, illuminating all the faces and voices that would arrive to invite your soul to growth. Praised be your father and mother who loved you before you were and trusted to call you here with no idea who you would be. Blessed be those who have loved you into becoming who you were meant to be. Blessed be those who have crossed your life with dark gifts of hurt and loss that have helped to school your mind in the art of disappointment. When desolation surrounded you, blessed be those who looked for you and found you. Their kind hands urgent to open a blue window in the gray wall formed around you. Blessed be the gifts you never notice. Your health, eyes to behold the world, thoughts to countenance the unknown, memory to harvest vanished days, your heart to feel the world's waves, your breath to breathe the nourishment of distance made intimate by earth. On this echoing day of your birth, may you open the gift of solitude in order to receive your soul. Enter the generosity of silence to hear your hidden heart. Know the serenity of stillness to be enfolded anew. Happy birthday.
Well, That's to everybody who's having a birthday today or over the weekend. I thought, nice radio tooling there.
Yeah, it was, actually. But great production by Cara. It was. She did a great job, that.
She did. It was really well put together, that, wasn't it? So it's just another twist on the whole birthday thing of being blessed and all the rest of it. So great, nice work, that, and really enjoyed putting that in the programme. Now, we're picking up quite a few of the guys on SoundCloud. Some of the poets are posting up on SoundCloud now, which is great from the point of view that these are all spoken word poets, so they're recording the work, and it's quite easy for us to pull them down and broadcast them. And this one's it's been voiced by a guy by the name of Robert Scott, who's a great supporter of poets all over the world, and he's covered this one called Drowning, and it was written by Calypso. And I thought, you know what, let's play this on the programme as well.
Drowning by Calypso. My heart is heavy. It hurts in 100 different ways. It sinks to the bottom of my feet. Keeps me standing still as the water rises. And I feel like going under, giving up, giving in. Although everyone says it's going to get better, the pain will start to thin. But I'm so tired of fighting to believe. Fighting just to breathe.
How many times do you get in a position where you think, I've had enough? Enough's enough. I just want to give up.
I actually find it does get better.
It does get better, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does. You know, you just got to tough it out and it will eventually get better, I hope.
We certainly are on a roller coaster of poetry this week, because at one end I've been laughing, at that end, you know, clearly quite a sobering poem.
And the very last one we're going to play is going to terrify you to death.
Oh.
It's a real roller coaster ride this week. But before we get to that,
we're
going to play a piece by Catherine Howe. Now, she thought she sent it through to me. She didn't attach it to the email, or it didn't come through to me. So she rang up this morning and said, did you get it? And I said, no, I didn't. And we got a spot for you on the show. She said, I'll send it now. So we've had to quickly drop it into the programme. But it's a great piece. Slam poetry, cracker. Have
not
a listen.
Even the ink's dry.
No, the ink's not even dry on this one. So have a listen to this one, Jeff.
Taking liberties. I want you to know that what you did was all worth it. What you said turned to concrete while I'm breaking, see me spit. The movements I'm making, liberties that I'm taking with a lexicon forming in the back of my throat. If lust was my calling, we were more than appalling. From our insides to out, we're always pushing and peeling. With a caustic container, always tried to contain you. Number 15 performer at the end of your year. If love was the reason, darling, you commit treason. Every day of your life, you're always spilling the poison. In beauty we trust, obviously hope is a must for every self-respecting poet who is covered in rust. You see, you can't believe in fate if you are gonna survive. You know, you can't believe in God if you are gonna make my brain crack, because everybody knows that reason is the way you can thrive. As Liza said, everybody loves a winner, so you'd better abide. Remember, life is a cabaret, old chum, and you are the only clown. You see, the tears you cry are phony. It's time for you to get down. If love is your reason, darling, your drug is pleasing. Every day of your life, you're always building my poison.
Worth waiting for, that one, wasn't it?
That was Catherine, was it?
Yeah, Catherine Howe. Yeah, great.
She had a beat in her voice. I could hear it.
Yeah, well, fantastic. You being a musician, I thought you'd love that one.
I mean, you could have put a beat over it, but it didn't need it, because she had the rhythm and the voice. It was absolutely.
Yeah, there was absolutely no point in dropping a music track under that, because it had the beat in the words. Jeez, it was just the way it rolled. It just really did roll well.
Do another one of those next week.
Yeah, that's right. So send us another one, Catherine.
Yeah,
we want to get it broadcast. Now, we've also, because we've got lots of new poets on, so we're going to finish off with two now. The first one's by a guy by the name of Jim Hart. It's called Stay, which is he's posted on YouTube as well. And he sent the sound file through to us for us to play. So we'll have a listen to this one in 2 seconds.
In the purple, pink, hazy sky of first light dawning, I beg you, through coma sleep, through antiseptic room's window, through the leafless tree branches and fierce rain pounding mullioned glass, through dark shadows cast over your bedclothes,
through the heart pounding ticks of hospital's clock, through the neon halo irradiating your pallid face, through the crepe-soled squeaks of nurses' shoes in marble hallways,
through the hideous echo beeping machine reminder of your mortality, through victims' eyes, sunken, unseeing, unseen, through your inner secrets, cursed, oblivious, unborn, through the crosshairs of random focus, through the rage of no reason, through the eternal why you, through the infinite sweetness of your sacred lips, through the grief of all my cold words spoken, through the visitor-used bathroom mirror, unseeing of your reflection, through the gray fog of your breath on clear masked mouth, through the needle's constant piercing plum-colored skin, through the unattentive blue, green, white scrubs of three shift orderlies, through the test result conclusions, through the whispered sorrows of family finally gathered, through the doctor grim looks, head shakes, chart notations, through the chain-smoked, lung-blackening respirator assistance needed, through the unconsolable barriers of barely breathing, through the bed sores, blood-soaked, oozing, drugged-up, unfelt, cankerous pain, through the liquid drip of morphine, morpheus dreams, through no fight left in frail, cancerous body, through forgiving, through forgetting, through forever, in the purple, pink, hazy sky of first light dawning, I beg you to close the door on God's perfect light and mercifully cling to this worthless man, empty inside, minus the beauty of your presence.
There you go. A bit heartfelt, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Written from personal experience, you think?
Not sure, like, actually. It did seem like that, didn't it? It was really gritty.
I know quite a few of the poems that we've had have been through people, through relatives, particularly those that are death experience there that alluded to, that people have seen these things and they write about them. But
Very quite a powerful poem, that. So thanks very much for that, Jim. If you've got any others, please send them in, which would be really good. Now, I did. This comes with a little bit of a warning, this, because I've listened to this.
A warning?
You will not sleep well tonight after listening to this one.
Oh, no.
This is great, this. This is called Terrified, and it's by a guy by the name of Michael Gagan, who's a poet on Facebook and on SoundCloud. And it's very dark, the stuff that he does. And he did say, you might not want to play my stuff because it's a bit dark. Well, I do want to play it, even though it is a bit dark, because it's terrified the life out of me, this bit. Just listen to it and we'll talk about it.
This worries me, actually, because I've actually got into the habit now of listening to the show in my bed with my headphones on last thing at night.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like as you're winding down the end of the day, I normally stick Scribble on for last week's show. I listen to you. I'm not going to be able to do that this week with this thing coming at the end.
Now, you might want to turn this off and listen to it in the morning after it's done.
Okay. Right.
Have a listen to it. See what you think, Jeff.
The capillaries in your eyes begin to burst. Your face turning purple is quenching my thirst. The veins in your head are starving for blood. Your gurgling saliva comes in a flood. I remove the ligature from around your neck, smiling coyly for the repent. I leave you a string of beautiful pearls from your breast to your pussy on that unfurled. I am the nightmare you had as a child, the thing under your bed, nasty and vile. I lived in your closet and haunted your mind. 20 years later, and I'll page you mine. I break your fingers one at a time. I thrust into you deeper, the feeling sublime. You're screaming, enhancing my orgasmic bliss. I give you a heartfelt, passionate kiss. I read you your horoscope for this day. It reads, stay home, key demons away. Lucky for me, you came out to play. I picked you up like a cute little stray. I will drop you off at the door of your home. You will never again walk the streets alone. Bloody, broken, crying, and beat. You will forever remember the day of defeat. Don't forget to check under your bed. It just may be me to fuck with your head. Look into your closet, lay deep, and you'll find I will forever reside in your terrified mind.
Please.
That is scary stuff, isn't it? You know, I listened to that and I thought, right, where are my daughters? They were both out. Like, right, text them. Let's find out where they are, make sure they're all right.
I was back at that childhood. Do you ever have that childhood nightmare where you used to sort of like, whatever was in the room in the dark, like your sweater draped over the chair, suddenly took on a different shape of something that you...
took on a life of its own, didn't it?
It kind of, yeah. You suddenly it was, some sort of spooky... That poem definitely appealed to me, and that's it.
Yeah, it did.
I was...
Yeah, it was. Real shivers down the spine, that. So,
I'm not sleeping tonight.
Was great. Yeah, so don't listen to it late at night.
Great production, by the way.
Oh, it was. Superb production.
Fantastic. The sound effects, was that a knife being sharpened?
Yeah, it was a knife being sharpened.
Oh, please, no.
Yes, right. Scary stuff on the Scribble show.
That has no place in a poetry show, surely.
That was a great piece. Thanks very much for that, Michael. Now, that's about it for this week. So really, we want to do a bit of a shout-out to everybody who's getting involved with the show, don't we?
We have, yeah, because we've come a long way, actually. How many weeks are we in now? We're probably
This is week nine.
This is week nine.
Yeah.
And it started off just as a sort of like a germ of an idea in your head. And we've been so pleased how much people have got behind it.
Yeah.
Scribblers, as we call them.
Yeah, the scribblers have been brilliant. But we need to keep people scribbling and posting them on the Facebook page to ensure that we can pick your work up. Because we've got these two items in, as we said before, Night Train and Scribble. And we want to cover as many poets as we can. So keep scribbling and keep listening.
Yeah, I've been really pleased the way people have voiced in their opinions, what they do like, what they don't like, and even, obviously, you don't even have to be a writer. You can just sit and listen to Scribble, because you're more than welcome.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so a bit of a shout-out as well to the short story writers. We could do with a few more short story writers writing in, so we can do the
we haven't had
one of those for a couple of weeks.
Nope, that's right.
Because we don't want to keep on using the same people over and over again, even though I'd like to hear all of Ryan Wood's book of Cinnamon Page, but he is working on it hard at the moment, so it should soon be out in paperback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to do a shout out for Joy Wilson Parish. We did it last week about a new book, Oh Sojourn. It's going a storm. Her page that she set up for it's got something like 6,000 people following it now. Everybody's queuing up to buy the book. You can get it from lulu.com. We'll also be able to get it from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I believe. And we'll put those links at the bottom of the show notes so everybody can get over there and have a look at it. And one of the guys wrote into me and said, hey, Neil, why don't you do a book on Scribble Show? You know, at the end of 6 months, why don't we do the best of the Scribble Show and we get everybody's poets in there? And I thought, you know what? That's a cracking idea.
Yeah,
why don't we do
that? Idea. Like a review.
Like a review and put the poems in there as well. The best of Scribble.
Now that's what I call
one.
Poetry.
Yeah. Oh wow! What a great
version
name.
One.
Version one. Scribble.
And we'll
yeah, and then we can do version two at Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we should work on that as well and bring that to the fore, to the party. So thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to all you scribblers for
writing.
Wouldn't
work without you guys.
Yeah, it's all about you at the end of the day. Jeff and I just talking namely about your work as we go through it, but it's a great thing for you to do. Keep on sending your work in. And as we say every week, may your God or your gods go with you.